الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل كون من الأقوال مقتحم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our Honorable Sheikh, the Arif of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, and the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah, Hazrat said that before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can become alive in the ummah again. Today's whole bayan, what I intend to make, is all upon sunnahs. So the sunnahs we will discuss in the bayan, but before that, just the importance of sunnah, one aspect of the great importance of the sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is that Allah loves the sunnah so much that anyone, and sunnahs are very easy to practice, and very, very beloved also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, a great, great alim, used to say, Sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. The method of sunnat is the easiest way of doing anything. Whatever a person wants to do, let him do it sunnat way and see how easy it is. For example, his wedding, our wedding, our children's wedding. One is the sunnat way. What is that? You go and propose. They accept your proposal, you make the nikah there and then. Or you make it in the masjid, more better, so that everyone knows the nikah is made. After that, walima by the boys' house. And walima is not 1,000, 2,000 people, 10 people, 20 people, it's sufficient for a walima. Make sure you invite some poor people, make sure you invite some pious people, that's all. Now, and that nikah, it comes in the hadith, inna a'zama nikahi barakah. That nikah has got the most barakah in it, aysuruhu mahuna, in which the effort for it, the money spent, the time spent is the least. So this works like a scale. You have two pens, if you make lot of effort on the nikah, spend lot of money, big, big nikah you made. Today, what kind of nikahs? Then, when this pen is heavy, this pen automatically is light. There is no barakah in that nikah. And if this pen, you make it light, you don't spend so much time, so much money, just in a simple, ordinary way. You make this nikah, the pain is very light. So the pain of barakat will be extremely heavy. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say that he had about 9 daughters. And he says, whenever I made the nikah of any of my daughters, my son, Maulana Talha, how much time I spend and effort I make to make 2 rakat of sunnat namaz. For 2 rakat sunnat, you have to make wudu, you have to be in a state of wudu, you have to face qibla, your clothes must be clean, your body must be covered, the place you make namaz must be covered, you must find out which side is qibla, you face qibla and you make your... So there is some effort. So how much I take time and effort I make to make 2 rakats of namaz, so much time and effort I spend on the sunnat of nikah. Both are sunnats. And the sunnat of nikah, for the sunnat of namaz, if you are going to make 2 rakat namaz, you don't have to invite 200 people, that I'm going to be making 2 rakat sunnat namaz, so I'm inviting you to come here. You're not going to feed 200 people to make 2 rakats of sunnat namaz, you just make a 2 rakat. So just like that, nikah also is like that. And we see in the lives of the sahaba, the sunnat, that they did not even inform Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they did not even ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a great Nabi, the greatest Nabi, that you please make our nikah, there will be not barakat in our nikah. They didn't disturb Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how, so sunnat nikah, the sunnat way of nikah is simplicity. So anyway, every sunnat in dressing, in anything, the easiest way of accomplishing it is to do it the sunnat way. Second point, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abu Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is to say that Sunnah ka tariqa ajmal tariqa hai. That the way of Sunnah is the most beautiful way. You want to do anything. Everyone likes to do his things, but beauty, there must be beauty. So the greatest beauty in anything is to do it according to Sunnah. Anything, you do it according to Sunnah, there is the greatest beauty in it. For example, we take our salam. What a beautiful greeting we got. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. And that's what a person wants in his life. If he's earning a lot of money, to have a peaceful life. If he goes on a holiday, to get peace. Whatever, builds a beautiful house, beautiful bedroom, bathroom he makes, to get peace. That is what you want. And where is peace? In the words of salam. That peace be upon you from Allah Ta'ala's side. Peace is not on you, it's not on you if you make the bedroom and you made it all according to Western style, you made the bathroom all according to Western style. Western civilization is not going to put peace in there. Peace is only in the hands of Allah. So if you did your things in order to please Allah, then peace will come in there. Otherwise, how many people got the best bedroom but no sleep they are getting? Where is the peace? If they do get any sleep, they're getting nightmares, they're jumping out of their bed, where is the peace? In that bathroom, slipping and falling on the mat that we have to put, copying the Western people, whether we need that loose mat or not, and we slip and we fall, where is the peace? You'll end up 6 months in hospital. Where is the peace in there? Peace is only in the hands of Allah. And Allah will give you peace when we will make salam for one. Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Ramat Barakatum, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's son, he says it wasn't long ago when salam was common amongst the people. Wherever you go, salam, everywhere. So there was peace. People were not earning much, but they had peace in their life. People had small houses, but they had peace in their life. And health-wise, people had peace. In domestic life, no problems. Today, with big houses and how many women, they say that we are sick and tired of this man. How he's behaving, what he's doing. We rather just go and get a small little outbuilding. We are more peaceful there. I want peace in my life. So peace is not in the big houses and the sprawling lawns and all those things which impress us. In fact, the awliya, the friends of Allah, when they see all this dunya and all of it, they get ghabraat, they get frightened. They can't take it. We get peace in the dunya things. They find ghabraat. They can't take it at all. And that's also a measurement to see that how much of deen we got in our lives. The more we have deen, the more we have sunnah, the more we will incline to simple way of life. And we will enjoy that. A person won't find that enjoyment in any juice or any cold drink, what he finds in water. That water, how he will, and if it's Zamzam, what you say. But today, we don't enjoy Zamzam. We enjoy Coca-Cola. Zamzam of the Americans we enjoy. The black Zamzam, that we enjoy, the black Zamzam, the Coca-Cola. But Zamzam, that we don't enjoy. We haven't got a taste for Zamzam. We've got taste for all other things. So when there will come peace in our lives, the simple things we will find what great enjoyment. My father-in-law, Maulana Zubair Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, used to say that the beauty of a masjid is the simplicity of a masjid. The more simple it is, the more beautiful. And the ornaments of the masjid are not chandeliers, are not all imported carpets, etc. The ornaments of the masjid are the musallis. One time, in the Far East, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was the Amir of Tabligh Jamaat. Previously, they went on a Tabligh trip to the Far East. There the people came, a new masjid was built, a very big masjid, and the people were sort of boasting about their masjid, that we got our taps from Italy, we got our carpets from Belgium, we got the light fittings from this place, the whole world's things they were telling Hazrat. Hazrat, it was his habit, he should listen quietly. After he listened, then he said, with a great sigh of the heart, he said, you got the material things from all over the world.
But the Muslims who are staying around the masjid, you couldn't get them to come and make namaz. And the purpose of the masjid is for namaz. And you've got the things from Belgium and England and Italy and the whole world, you put things in a masjid. But the people of the masjid who are supposed to be here, living around the masjid, that is the beauty of the masjid. The ornaments that how many musallis got. Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was in Medina Sharif, passed away in Medina Sharif, buried in Jannatul Baqi. He said that since we have brought dunya into our masjid, all our mic system, etc., necessity, but according to all the dunya, today we have to lock the masjid. Because we brought dunya and people want to steal dunya. When the masjid was simple, there was nothing of this dunya things. You didn't have to lock the masjid, nobody used to come and steal, there was nothing to steal. But now we have put so much of dunya in the masjid and beautified it so much that vandalizing takes place, criminals come, they steal, etc. So anyway, sunnah tariqa is the most beautiful way. So Saddam, there is peace in Saddam, assalamu alaikum. And not only peace, Maulana Abraham Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, sunnat ka tariqa akmal tariqa hai, is the most perfect way. Anything you want to do it, you want to do it perfectly. Many people are idealists. They, whatever they do, I must do it perfectly. I don't just do it haphazardly. I don't leave loose ends. What I do, I must do it perfectly and completely. So if you want to do something like that, the only way is the way of sunnah. Sunnah is that way which is the way of perfection. Just see by the example of salam. Just salam is such a great thing. That peace, peace in your monetary affairs, peace in your domestic relationship, peace in your health, in everything peace for you. And then it isn't only a salam, the complete salam is wa rahmatullah, Allah's rahmat also. Peace there is already, what was short after that? But now the cherry on the top, bonus on top of that, Allah's rahmat. And Allah's rahmat, that Allah Ta'ala gives you tawfiq of being obedient to Allah Ta'ala. That is it. Now you say wa rahmatullah. We are complaining our children are not making namaz. Our children are not obedient to the parents. They are very disobedient. If Allah's rahmat will come, Allah's obedience will come. Then we will see they will dress properly, they will behave properly, their bad language, how they speak to the mother, how they speak to the father, our youngsters today. It hurts. I do so much for my children, but just say how he's behaving, how he's carrying on, how he touches me. Hey, this is common in almost every house this is happening. Allah's rahmat is not there. If we make salam and we say wa rahmatullah, Allah's barakat, Allah's rahmat will come. So Allah's rahmat, obedience of Allah. Now you made Allah happy. What is the result of this? Faragat al-ma'isha. Allah gives you abundance in your rosy now. So this is by making salam. You will get obedience of Allah for yourself, for the whole family. The whole house made Allah happy. Allah is going to make you happy. He will give you, you will live comfortably. You will not be in need. Allah won't let you work so hard. Allah won't let you stretch your hand for even a loan. You won't have to go to the bank and make the bank manager happy and try and get a loan from him. You don't have to get a loan from anyone. Allah will give you. Faraziya ma'isha. And when you die, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins. All your sins will be forgiven. That rahmat when you made salah. And the last part of this rahmat, dukhul jannah. You will enter jannah. Everything of dunya is also done. Obedience of the children. And then Allah's rahmat in the form of enough rosy, you are never in short wherever you are. And then when you die, maghfirat, so Allah forgives you and dukhul jannah. So this is the rahmat, wa rahmatullah. And that also is not enough. Just see how perfect is salam, wa barakatuhu, and Allah's barakat also. And barakat, we all like barakat. It's common that if your people, we meet one another, we say make the dua for you. And that is sunnah also to ask one another for duas. So, and if you ask anyone what dua, you will say barakat dua. That is the main thing we want, we want barakat in our world. And we seldom understand the meaning of barakat. We have to take barakat to be plenty. that I earn 100,000 a month, I earn 200,000, my income is so big, that is barakah. That is not barakah. How many people who are earning big, big amounts, but they are still short of money, so short that they can't pay their accounts, and they go bankrupt. Big, big firms go bankrupt. Big, big enterprises, there's no barakah. Though they're earning so much, you are earning so much, the wife is earning, the daughter is earning, the son is earning, but they're still short of money. And it comes on the terms, no barakah in our lives. No barakah in time, no barakah in money, no barakah in health. In anything there is no barakah. We are eating so much, but still we are just as weak and we lazy, lethargic. We haven't got the desire to do anything. And we are eating so much and we are eating the best vitamin food. There is no barakah. Just get barakah. And yet the dua is of barakah. Wa barakatuhu. And strange, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali pointed out that As-salamu alaykum is singular. According to Arabic language and grammar, salam be on you is singular. And wa rahmatullah is also singular. But Allah knows our nature. Barakah we like Lord. So Allah put wa barakatuhu. Allah put it in plural. That my bandas, they like Lord barakah. So that I will put in plural. If we make it, comes in the Hadith Sharif. If a man enters the house and he makes salam cheerfully and loudly, and the family also replies cheerfully and loudly, Allah looks at that house with mercy. And that's where you get Allah. But what we got? We got the TVs on, whether anyone is watching or not. The TV, and the TV is the antenna for shaitan. That shaitan, we're inviting you, this is the house you must come into. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif, when a person enters the house, he doesn't make salah, no zikr, shaitan announces to all his friends, to all his army of the other small shaitans, that come here, you have got lodging here. Pre-lodging, the hotel accommodation you got, when you don't make salah. When you sit to eat, and you don't read Bismillah, then shaitan tells you to them, you got free meals also. You can eat also, shaitan takes part. And when shaitan takes part in our eating, where is there going to be barakah? How they will gobble up all the food and everything. You will eat little, you're not getting full, and you're not having strength in you, you're feeling weak, you're feeling lethargic. Shaitan ate up everything. Because we never read Bismillah. And also, we must be all aware of this masala, this rule of Sharia, that if some strange man come to visit our house, for example, strange, I mean, who are not family, who are not mahram, who are not the immediate family, those amongst whom marriage cannot take place, other people, they come, and whatever food they leave over, if they were eating in the plate or in a glass or anything, the woman folk should not eat there. Why? The reason for that is what you eat, etc., it causes love to spread. So love can come, and then howl of fitna, howl of trouble in there. So when you eat with shaitan and he's sharing with you, now the love of shaitan comes. And that is so evident. Today, Western way of life, we love that way. We don't love sunnah way because we're eating with shaitan. And we're sharing food with shaitan. And if we share food with the family, today, really, in how many cases, do you be honest to yourself, there is no real love between husband and wife. We're just living together. That's, we say the spark is no more there. The spark of love is, we're looking at other women. We're enjoying to flirt around, even if we don't mean anything serious. Talking around with the ladies at work, etc. Joking around with this one, joking around with that one. On the phone making a joke. We're checking in at the airport until we don't make a joke with that lady that we haven't done anything. We don't really mean, but all this, but with the wife we don't make a joke. And with the wife, just now lately, one wife, the husband told that the food for the other shop, she must prepare it, and the driver will come pick it up. So she said, give me a time, I'll go in the bathroom, so I know when I can be ready with the food. Give me a time. He said, you're chowing my brains. For the wife, chowing my brains, anything. Another lady, I'm at your service. Whatever you want, just tell me. It's my duty to serve you and to keep you happy. But the wife, you're chowing my brains. With regard to chowing brains, one person went to a doctor. Doctor examined him, treated him, prescribed medicine. As he was leaving, doctor just advised him, chow magaj, brains. So he asked, what brains? So he said, any brains, foul brains you can chop. He say, any other cow brains you can eat. The brains of fish is very good. Then he kept on asking, doctor say, whoever's brains you want to chow them, but don't chow my brains. You are chowing my brains now. So this we get cross. But other women, we are, what gentlemanness we show. But when the over, there is no happiness. Because that barakat is not there. That rahmat of Allah is not there. So if we make our salam properly, we will see the end cure. So why? And wallah, take this to heart. I tell you that don't look at other women. Make the salam, our basic sunnats and deeni life, the basics, bring them in our life. Wallah, I say your wife will appear like Hurul Een in your eyes. You will make shukr to Allah, Allah gave me my Hur of Jannat in this dunya. And if we don't do that, your wife, you don't like her, you don't want to see also, you treat her like a rubbish, and you just rubbish her in everything. She's just a burden on you. Other women, they got lot of appeal for you. And if you bring deen in your life, your wife will appear, wallah, I say, the most beautiful woman. And you will enjoy her company. You won't think of the TV, you won't think of other things. You don't think of the filth and dirt on the internet. Good people today are so addicted to porn on the internet. They are making tahajjud namaz also. They are making their five times namaz with jamaat, but porn they can't give up. They are watching porn till late hours of the night. All this is because we haven't got that rahmat of Allah, the barakat of Allah. So by following sunnah, all these things will come in our lives. So, also, one more final thing with regard to this. Our salam is imported from Jannah. Everyone likes imported goods, but not China imported. If it's German imported or any other imported, then we say imported goods are good. And our Jannah is not from China. Our Jannah is not from Germany. Our salam is from Jannah. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah Ta'ala told him there's a group of malaika go and make salam to them. And what reply they give you, that is the salam for you and your progeny till the day of Qiyamah. So our salam is imported from Jannah. What a salam we got. And that what have we traded in? If a person trades in his car, he got a 2005 car, he doesn't trade it in for a 1980 car. He trades it in for 2015, 2012, a later model. We trade it in our salam for what? For hello. Everyone on his phone, hello, hello, hello. And in that case, there is not a cell phone, there is a hell phone. And what is hello? If we ever perhaps thought about it, hello is made of two words, hell and low. So when you say hello, you're telling the person go to hell and go to the lowest part of hell. And he in reply tells you, you also go to hell. And you go to the lowest part of hell. When this is me giving one another this kind of dua, you go to hell, you go to our lives. It's lives of hell we got. With all our money, with all our big houses, and with all our sprawling gardens, with all that, no peace of mind, no time for deen. Yeah, for dunya, because of that, we got time for all. To see the cricket middle of the night, we got time. But to get up for Fajr, very hard. I can't get up for Fajr, I get too tired because there is no barakat in all that. We gave one another tickets of hell. So you'll only do the actions of hell in that case. So may Allah tabarakata, and also our salam, pronounce it properly also. But some people, they just say salama. Salama is not salam. The Pakistanis have traded it in. When you go on Air Pakistan International, PIA, you'll see the air hostess when you're getting off, or the host, everyone Khuda Hafiz, nobody makes salam. That was the Iranians, the Shias, to change our deen and the barakat, if they change salam into Khuda Hafiz. Khuda Hafiz is a good dua, but salam, on the place of salam, you can't put something else there. You can't put hello there, you can't put Khuda Hafiz there. Make salam on that time. So we should pronounce it properly. Assalamu alaikum. And some people also, the pronunciation in many things. In the previous days, some of us might still remember those days, when the telephone system was by the operator. You had to turn the telephone on the side, The operator will connect you to the who you want to speak to. So in one country town in the old Transvaal, the old Afrikaner people were the operators. So this one Afrikaner man asked one of our Muslim people, Maulana Abbas Ali Jinnah, the Ahmed Barakatum was the Amir of Jamiatul Ulama, the Transvaal, his father, old at those days. He asked him, why you Muslim people, whenever you speak to one another, when I connect the phone, I have to hear that it's connected. So the first thing I hear that you tell, one person tells the other person, slam you of the cock. You say to one another, slam you of the cock, and that one replies again, my Tom Khasla. He says, why you people, what can you talk? Slam you of the cock, hit him on the head. So what is it? Because we're not from Assalamu Alaikum. Now he, what is Afrikaans orientation? We say Assalamu Alaikum. So he learns, he hears it as Salaam of the Qur'an. And we don't say Wa Alaikum As-Salaam, we say Ma Alaikum As-Salaam. Ma Alaikum As-Salaam. So that is how he hears it, because we pronounce it so wrong. So it is very necessary. One Sudani man told our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali that generally you people, Pakistanis, you just say Salaam Alaikum. It's not Salaam Alaikum, As-Salaamu Alaikum. Pronounce that Alif, that Hamza at the beginning. Make it clear and don't shy from making Salaam. Today if we meet somebody where they are non-Muslims in our mall, at any, we are shy to make Salaam also. In our shops, if there are other customers, etc. And some Maulana comes, especially if he's a collector, and they got a special way of making Salaam. Hey, As-Salaamu Alaikum, then you know a collector is here today in the shop. And then we are shy to even reply to that salam. No, that should not be the case. Anyway, salam has got a great value. The ayat al-kareema that I've recited, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever will honor the shi'ar, the signpost of Islam, the flag post, the honor, the things which Islam has given honor to, who will honor them? Allah says that person has got taqwa in Islam. Allah declares that person has got taqwa. Amongst the great signs of Allah Ta'ala is the masjid. A person who will honor the masjid, who will see to the maintenance and the upkeep of the masjid, the cleanliness of the masjid. Amongst the signs of Islam are the minara. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, make your minara of the masjid high. So that the person who comes, who is an outsider, a stranger, he doesn't have to ask directions, where is the masjid? He can see clearly there is the masjid and he gets to there. So that's a shi'ar. The Quran Sharif is a very big shi'ar of our deen. The day of Jumu'ah, that is a very big, to honor the day of Jumu'ah. That is a shi'ar of Islam, a great sign. And a person who will honor the day of Jumu'ah, Allah Ta'ala says that person has got taqwa in his heart. Now let us see how much do we honor the day of Jumu'ah. How much is it a different day for us? Why, it's just a sign, it's the end of the week. And now we are going to the weekend. The strong end we finished, 5 days. Now we're going to the weekend of the week. The weekend when we're not going to earn any more money. What we earn the 5 days we're going to spend. Muslims are still fortunate. Other people that say night, Friday night, first stop is a pub, is the bar. And whatever they earn is in the bar. The weekend they finished everything. So anyway, so there's the shi'ar of Islam, one is Jumu'ah. And a person who will honor the day of Jumu'ah, Allah Ta'ala declares that person has got taqwa in Islam. And this is a very great honor for a person, that Allah is saying you got taqwa in your heart. The husband and wife sleep right close to one another, but the husband can't see what's in the wife's heart. And the wife can't see what's in the husband's heart. Allah, who is Alimul Ghayb, who knows everything. He says, those people who will honor the shi'ar of Allah Ta'ala, Allah says that I know, Allah says, and you have got taqwa in your heart. So what a great honor. And by just honoring the day of Jumu'ah, we can get this great honor. So this day of Jumu'ah, when Allah created the heavens and the earth, يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, at that time, Allah decreed the greatest day of the week is the day of Jumu'ah. The most honorable day of the week is the day of Jumu'ah. Sayyidul Ayyam, it is the king of all the days of the week. And Allah Ta'ala at that time had given honor to the day of Jumu'ah. consequently, great, great events took place on the day of Jumu'ah because it was the greatest day. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came in this world, and many shariats, many anbiya before, Allah offered all of them as Jumu'ah for the big day for worship, for ibadah. But Musa alayhi salam's people, the Bani Israel, were very, very stubborn people and were very like obstinate. Like we find usually with our young girls, our young boys also, whatever you tell them doesn't make sense to them. You tell them good, good things, do this, do, it just doesn't make sense to them. They just want to do things in a wrong way, in a haphazard way. Parents get parishan. Bani Israel were the original people who were there. They were so obstinate. So when they were offered Jumu'ah, they said, no, we don't want Jumu'ah. Like sometimes you offer your children the best, but they just refuse. They don't want to do it. They just want to do the wrong things. So the Bani Israel were like that. They chose, they say, we want Saturday. Allah said, well and good, you want Saturday? I give you Saturday as your big day. Until today, the Jews celebrate Saturday, Yom Sabbath, the Sabbath. Till today, they celebrate it as their big day. And those who are Orthodox Jews, till today, they won't put a switch light on a Saturday. That's also dunya's work. That we won't do that also. We do absolutely nothing of dunya on the Sabbath till today. Then when Isa alayhi salam came, they were also the same Bani Israel people. They were offered also the day of Jumu'ah. But they again, they chose Sunday. They say, we want Sunday as our big day. Allah, until today Christians pray, Sunday is their big day. And not only their big day, they imposed it upon the whole world. That Sunday is a public holiday. We also just accept it. We don't think, we are Muslims, our public holiday is supposed to be Friday. But we just follow soon. And we also, Sunday, public holiday, we also celebrate it as, even if we don't celebrate it, we just take it as a public holiday throughout in the world. And just see how they work, Pakistan, they also celebrate 25th December, Christmas Day. But they just camouflage. Qaid-e-Azam, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, he was born on the 21st of December. So they say Qaid-e-Azam Day. But it's no Qaid-e-Azam Day that they're celebrating his bigness, the founder of Pakistan, so to say what they say. Actually, it is Christmas Day they celebrate. So Muslims have been too good in camouflaging. We do all the other things, we just give it a different name. Like for example, you got a Coke bottle. I'm not encouraging Coke or anything, I'm just giving an example. And you put black vinegar in there. And you put it in a Coca-Cola bottle and you freeze it in the freezer also. And you give your guests to drink. By just the title Coca-Cola, it's not going to make that black vinegar. It's not going to make it Coke. Black vinegar will be black vinegar, even if the title is Coca-Cola. So just like that, giving Islamic names today, halal anywhere. One recently, a non-Muslim company, they're opening up a takeaway. They're discussing among themselves, the directors, how to run our business. One of them suggested, you must put halal. What does halal mean? He says, it doesn't matter what it means. So you just put it there, you say, how much patronage of the Muslims you have. So Muslims don't find out whether it is halal. Just because they put a halal God, finish, it's halal. Just a halal God doesn't make anything halal. And Muslims are not worried. And we are so, we tell one another, go to this place, go to that place, you'll get halal. Whether it is just a halal God in the Free State, one person was traveling, a Muslim man, he saw, I think the Gundus in the Free State, halal. So he went and buy something there. He ordered it when they were delivering and giving it to him. He asked this halal, just inquisitive. What does it mean? He said, we don't know what it means. But with that, since the time we put it, we see our customers, Muslim customers have increased. Like a ta'weez they give. We put ta'weez in the shop and we get a lot of customers. So they also put ta'weez, halal, what is a ta'weez? So people are just wildly patronizing. We don't find out whether it is actually halal or not. So anyway, the Jumu'ah is a great day. Then when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, alhamdulillah, Allah had given the Sahaba this mizaj and nature, sami'na wa ta'ana. Allah offered the day of Jumu'ah, which was the big day, and they all accepted it wholeheartedly. And today we have got, but how much are we honoring the day of Jumu'ah? For that, I'll give you one example, reality. one person from Porchestrom in the west or whichever province he comes from. He was in those days of apartheid, heydays of apartheid, he was going for business to the Far East with an Afrikaner man, a white man. And they traveled together, they were staying in the same hotel, everything. And on a Sunday, the merchants they were dealing with had arranged a barbecue for them for the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So this Muslim man told him, "We are invited for this barbecue, let us go, bright place." So that Christian man, Afrikaner man, he said, "I'm sorry, I can't go. It's my big day. It's my day of church, my day of my Bible. I will stay here in the hotel room and I will pray my Bible. I will read my Bible." So Muslim man went. They were invited for dinner again at night. So again he told him, "We are invited, let us go." Again he said, "I'm sorry, it's my big day, it's Sunday, my church day, I can't go." Then this Muslim man took inspiration. The source was wrong, but he took the right inspiration. That if a Christian man whose religion has, they have changed it also. And even if they did not change it, in any case it's cancer. By the coming of Islam, all the other religions were cancer. And still he, in a foreign country, far from his hometown, he's not going with his family to the church and all can see he's going to where he is, but how obedient he is to his religion. If he can do that, then I got the right religion. And we have got the best day, Sayyidul Ayyam Yawmul Jum'ah, so I must honor. When he came back, he was a very big businessman, cash and carry appliance he had, and very wealthy to do, and alhamdulillah, I had a fortune once when I was there on a Jum'ah, how we can visit him personally. I told him, "I heard this about you, I would like to listen to it from you." He narrated the whole story to me. And so he never opened his shop on a Jum'ah, until Jum'ah. After Jum'ah, no problem. Quran say, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. The rosy after Jum'ah has got a lot of barakah in it. But till Jum'ah, honor the day of Jum'ah. It's not faraz. But the person who will do it, Allah say that person has got taqwa. And alhamdulillah, quite a few of our friends, one doctor, he didn't open his surgery until today. He doesn't go to his surgery till Jum'ah. One mechanic, he didn't open his workshop till Jum'ah. Now he's in a different business. But he didn't, they honored the day of Jum'ah. And there are many people in the world who honor the day of Jum'ah. And Allah says that the person has got taqwa in his heart. One time, Haji Bey Padia, Rahmatullah Ali, our Amir of Tabliq, his brother-in-law, that means they are married to two sisters. So he, Abdul Wahab of Weena, he also has passed away, Allah grant him all of our marhumin, Allah give them jannah. He went for Hajj, and it was in those days, even the time of when Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was not so famous. It was the time of Mawlana Badri Alim, very great Alim, and all the people of the East, of the subcontinent, they were becoming bad to Mawlana Badri Alim. So he also was, Mawlana Badri Alim told him, "See, I want to see you on a separate time, I want to tell you something special on your own. So come to me sometime." When he went, he told him, "See, you people in South Africa, Friday, you must cook dar chawal. It's so common, and so much we have dal and rice, that it's small children thing is a sunnat of Friday, to have dal and rice." So Maulana told him, "Whichever other day you want to have your dal and rice, you have it. But Friday cook the best meal of the week. Everyone likes food. The day you're going to get the best food, you look forward to that day automatically." Then Maulana told him that you people generally in South Africa give your children a proper bath, the bath of the week, a proper bath on a Thursday, on a Saturday night, Sunday. And you give them the best clothes to wear on a Sunday. So he says, give them the bath of the week, a proper bath, Thursday night, Friday morning. And the best clothes according to Sharia and Islam, give them to wear on a Friday. Everyone likes nice clothes. The day you're going to wear your best clothes, you look forward to that day that I'm going to wear my best clothes. Then Maulana told him, if you are giving your children pocket money, spending money, give them a little more on a Friday. And if you are not giving them, give them something on a Friday. Everyone likes money. The day you're going to get money, automatically you look forward to that day. So in this way he highlighted the day of Jum'ah. So Jum'ah is a great day. And it must be in our hearts to honor and respect the day of Jum'ah. It must be a different day from the whole week. But today, unfortunately, even our madrasas, when we used to learn when we were small, Friday was a holiday. Saturday, 2 days, two times in the day madrasa, morning and afternoon. Sunday at one time, at the beginning, morning and afternoon madrasa, afterwards it only came morning. Today, Saturday, Sunday, holiday. Just like the Christian week we have, our week is also, we have fallen properly in line, we have aligned ourselves with Christian way of. Whereas we are Muslims and we are a nation. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation whom Allah has given honor with Islam. فَإِنْ نَتْلُقُ الْعِزَّةِ فِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. If we seek our honor in anything else besides Islam, in a Christian way of life, Western way of life, Hindu way of life, in any other way, if we seek our honor in money, in degrees, in all dunya's things, etc., today the value of a person is what kind of car he drives. The value of a person is what kind of house he lives in. If we give honor to that, Sayyidina Umar warned, Azallan Allah, Allah will disgrace us once more. Today, in spite of the black gold, the oil, which is in the Muslims' hands predominantly, we run the world really. Without oil, this fence won't work, this light won't work. We won't be able to come here without oil in the world. Oil, and predominantly Allah has given it in the Muslims' hand. We rule the world, but we are slaves of the world. Because we haven't, our honor is not in the black gold. This yellow gold, it means nothing. The world can do without it. But without the black gold, the oil, the world will come to a grinding halt immediately. Though it's in our hands, we are slaves of the West, slaves of America, slaves of the West, because Islam is not in our lives. If Islam comes in our lives, Allah will make us to rule the world without having riches. What the Sahaba did, that they ruled the whole world. Those people were astonished when they went to the Roman Empire to go in fact and say, what has brought these people here? These people who haven't got proper clothes to wear. In fact, one jihad is known, Dhatul Rikha, the name of that jihad, because they didn't have sandals to wear. Now the Mujahideen, the Afghani Mujahideen, they just fight with sandals, that beach trunks, locally, like that sandals. No big boots and that what the soldiers wear, and all that laced up and all that. They got nothing of that sort, but they ruled the world. What Allah has given them. So, because the Sahaba didn't even have that, and their legs started bleeding, the toes cracking, walking on the stones and the rocks and everywhere thorns. It cracked, they just fastened some rags over it. But they, with the Roman Empire, were 200,000 strong, they had to succumb to them. What was it? They had Islam in them. That is what we have to try and bring, is the reality of Islam. Not just the name of Islam, not the title of Coca-Cola inside is black vinegar. Bring reality of Islam into our lives and then see what Allah Ta'ala will give us. So, the honor of the day of Jumu'ah, may Allah Ta'ala put it in our hearts, let us make it a different day. The hadith that I will explain, it is a hadith that comes in four of the big hadith kitabs, the famous hadith kitab, Bukhari, Sharif, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, the great, great kitabs. This hadith comes in four kitabs which show how authentic the hadith is. Today, ordinary people, once I was in Mauritius, I just reached that day, and after Maghrib, I gave encouragement of one thing. One ordinary man who is hardly dressed like a Muslim, no topi, he asked, give me the reference of this hadith. We don't know even the names that reference is given, which makes no sense. What do you know about that reference? But everything we want reference. So this is from the four great hadith kitabs. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali was a great, great muhaddith, doctor of hadith, for man of hadith, and great, great researcher. He says of all the hadith in the deen, of all the hadith kitabs, the hadith that has got the greatest amount of virtue, sawab, is in this hadith. The hadith is absolutely authentic also, and the greatest amount of reward is in this hadith. What is this hadith? This hadith is if a person does six things on the day of Jumu'ah. And they are all very simple and easy to do.
Whoever will do the six things on the day of Juma, for every step he takes coming to the masjid, for every step he will get one whole year's ibadat sawab. And by ibadat here is meant namaz, tilawat of Quran, zikrullah, tasbih, dua, etc. Like a whole year for every step that he takes. Plus, for every step, 1 year's roza sawab. Like that in the year, 5 days you are, it's haram to keep roza. You can't keep. But for, if you do the six things, for every step, even those 5 days, you'll get roza sawab. So you'll get 1 whole year's roza sawab, fasting, puasa sawab, and 1 whole year ibadat sawab. For if you do just six simple things. And there are no difficult things. You don't have to move a mountain from its place. Nothing difficult. Each one of us can do it easily. What are the six things? The first is to take a bath and wear clean clothes. That inshallah every Muslim does that. That way on a Jummah, we take our bath, we wear our clean clothes. That's the first thing. The second thing is to come walking to the masjid. By walking is meant here, when in those days the old Islamic whole society and culture, everyone was in walking distance of the masjid. Masjid, today our whole lifestyle has changed. We live far, far away. Businesses are far. So today if a person comes by car, you will still get the sawab if you are living far. If you are living near, come walking, if it's walking distance. But if you are living far, then you come by car, no problem, you still get the sawab. Not only the sawab, inshallah, for every turn of the wheel, not one, but 2 steps you took in walking, you will get the sawab. So we must add also, that if a person is an invalid, he cannot walk, he comes on a wheelchair, they bring him by car, he will also get the sawab. But this refers to the kings and big lords of before. When they used to come for Jummah, people should carry them to show the people. Big man has come, king has come, a big lord has come. Today nobody comes like that. Even the kings come walking today. But the thing is, if you are here, come walking. And also when you come on a Jummah, try and park a little bit away. So you can take more steps. So how much you can walk, try and walk. We all want the nearest parking. Unless you're an old man, you are short breath or something like that, you got heart problems, different things, still you will get the sawab. So the first point was that take a bath, wear clean clothes. The second part, try and come walk. The third part is to try and come as early as possible for Jummah. There was one time in Islamic history that from Thursday, Maghrib people should make i'tikaf and stay in the masjid for the honor of the day of Jummah. Then it went to Isha, then it went to after Isha, then it went to Tahajjud time, then Fajr time, then it was not long, and I saw that time with my eyes. By the time of 9, 10 o'clock, people should come for Jummah. And today is last in, first out. We come the last, when even the khutbah is about to finish, we just pop in at that time. And we are the first to go. And we park our car also not in the parking bay, but reverse. So that when we go out, we can just drive off quickly, no waste of time. So that is the condition that we have come in. So anyway, try and come as early as possible. And the latest to come for Jummah is when the second azan takes place. The azan by the imam. At that time, if there is place in the masjid proper, come into the masjid. Because when the second adhan takes place, there are malaika who sit at the door of the masjid and they write the names of everyone. Who comes the earliest gets the biggest sawab. And finally the person who came last gets the smallest sawab. But when the second adhan starts over by the imam, and then also, I'll just digress again a little bit, just remind you from where I'm going off. The imam should stand not on the side of the muazzin, shouldn't stand on the side of the imam. Today we find that also a problem. How can I stand directly in front, like hero worship? No hero worship, that is the correct way. That you stand in front of the imam, we're sitting on the minbar, and in front of him. And another thing which is also becoming more and more, which is not correct, fiddling with the mic so much. The mic is not important. The adab of that time there shouldn't be so much so that when the imam has stood up, he hasn't still reached the minbar. He has stood up to go to the minbar. Don't make namaz also. It comes in the hadith. Don't talk also.
In other words, if somebody else is talking, don't tell him keep quiet also. Don't make a sign to him to keep quiet also. And he's fiddling with the mic so much. How much we fiddling with it? The poor muazzin just doesn't get finishing adjusting. Putting it this way, putting it that way. Then between the khutbah and the namaz, again adjusting the mic so much, putting it this way. And we are not short of namaz. Money. Keep two mics. One for the imam when he's on the minbar. Keep another mic if we need that mic, if the crowd is so big. In many cases, there isn't a need for the mic also. It's just fashion and style that we must be on the mic. If the crowd is not so big and the imam's voice carries, you don't need. If it's Haram Sharif of Makkah, you need a mic. If the Haram of Medina, you need. But in our masjids, generally, we don't even need a mic. But many qaris also are not happy till there isn't a mic. Until the voice doesn't go through the mic, just like you look at yourself in a mirror, you look more beautiful. You look yourself in a photo, you look more beautiful. So the voice also, until it's not on the mic, you're not satisfied. Your own voice you're not satisfied with. Yeah, the mic voice. And then you see many of the imams also, the stylishness they do. Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that make your imams those who are not qaris. Because the qari is more worried of his style. Hey, and a person who has got sincerity, he might be very simple, but that sincerity reaches by the arsh of Allah. And the stylishness doesn't even go beyond the throat of that person. It reaches nowhere, but we get impressed with style. We are so impressed. So anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so stand in front of the imam in there. So when the imam
stands up for the second.
Yeah, when the imam stands up for the khutbah, then no other talking, etc. So keep quiet at that time. Respect the khutbah also. And in fact, the khutbah, our zuhar every day is 4 rakats. Juma is only 2 paras. The other 2 were changed into the 2 khutbahs. They are left 2 rakats of namaz, the 2 khutbahs. So keep, how in namaz we don't tell anyone keep quiet, we don't make a sign or anything like that. Just like that, in the 2 khutbahs also respect it like that. And the bayan also respect it. Though the bayan is not really part of the Jummah, but respect it. Don't talk at that time. So the first sunnah of Jummah is that we must bath and wear clean clothes. The second one is that we come walking. The third one is we come as early as possible. So when the second azan is given, the malaika are sitting at the door and writing, registering all who have come. When the imam stands up for the second khutbah, they close their register. Now nobody's name will come in. If we were outside in the wuzukhana, we were outside in the parking, and we didn't come in, we come in late, then our names will not be recorded. So see that we come in before. Wattis is one town in Kumananga now, and once I went there, I saw a very beautiful sign in the wuzukhana, a P with a red sign across it. What does that mean? No parking. So in other words, don't park in the wuzukhana. You came to the masjid, now don't park there. Park in the masjid. Come to the masjid. And also don't park in the parking lot. Many of us, we are sitting there smoking, talking, we're waiting, passing time, last minute we rush in the masjid. No, don't park there. Come and park here. And here in the masjid, also there are parking meters. But we don't see them. They are in ghaib. And this parking meters, you don't have to feed them. They feed you. You don't have to pay for them, but they pay you. Just like parking, you pay to, now there's maybe 2 rand, 5 rand, whatever you have to pay, or whatever system they got, the tickets, you have to pay up all that parking. And here in the masjid, if you park, the parking meter pays you. For how long you came, you get paid by Allah Ta'ala. So try and come as early as possible, and when the imam stands up, then don't talk anything, don't do anything unnecessary. In the days of the past, in the masjids, there used to be pedals. And alhamdulillah, many of you also must have seen, I saw in the Haram of Makkah, Haram of Medina, in the past, the Tawaf area, there used to be pedals around. In the Masjid an-Nabawi, where the umbrellas are, that whole place, there were pebbles there. There wasn't musallas and how we got it tiles and everything now. So many people got a habit just to pass time, do anything, stupid things just for no reason. One person went to a great bujur for his Islam, to reform himself. The first meeting, and he was sitting on a chair, and he had a walking stick, and there were this dhedas, this muds of cloth, sand mud cloths. They call istinja. So when you make istinja, now we use tissue paper to remove the last drops and to be clean properly. But those days they used this mud cloths. So there were quite a few. So this habit, he was breaking all of them. So the sheikh made his isla there and then. He told his khadim, his person who was in his service, bring that other boxes of ours also where we got that mud cloth and bring them here. This person enjoys breaking it. He'll keep on breaking it. He learned his lesson. Eh? Like many of us, when at the first of the month we got our best pay and it's clean, shining on the first, clean. But one phone call and they put you on hold and you start scrubbing. The first day already that whole pen is covered. No more place to write a phone number, to anything that you have to remember, the whole pen is full of it. One time, Maulana Inamul Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi Hazratji was going to Heathrow Airport in London, and one brother was taking him, and like many of us got this habit, all this unnecessary things we do. Looking around this side, that side, that side. Because he saw he's a dangerous driver. This. He is looking everywhere. He's not watching the road. He's a dangerous driver. So Hazrat Ji told him, please just pull up on one side. So he thought Hazrat Ji wants to do something. He pulled up. Then Hazrat Ji told him, now as much as you want to look, look this side, look that side, whichever side you want to look. But when you drive again, please look on the road in front of you. So how important it is that a person must get out of this habit. Useless things today, more than useless, haram, the porn that we are addicted, the sports that we are addicted, kuffar sports, people who got nothing, people who are in liquor, people who are in women all the time, and we follow them like heroes of ours. And our children make these people like big, big heroes. And you can't speak against these people. You speak one word, the child gets upset. You can see it, he's now unhappy. When you ask him scores, what's happening, which is this player, then you say how happy they get. But when you tell him that all this is wrong, they can't accept it. We may think where we are leading and where we are heading and where we're taking our children to. So all this, anything like useless, playing with your watch while the football is coming on, with your glasses, you're putting them right, your topi, you adjust it, don't do anything. Like in namaz, we don't do any of these things. In the khutbah time also, in the bayan time also, listen properly. Once we were in France, and an Arab Ali was giving a bayan, something happened and there was a noise. And our nature, we all looked there. Now also, if somebody come and adjust the mic, everyone's eyes will go on the mic. And nobody's attention is on the bayan. So that Arab Ali became very, very angry and upset. He said, even if this roof falls down, you don't worry about that. I'm giving you a talk of deen, you listen to what I've got to say. Your attention must be here. This great king in the time of Mahmud Ghaznavi, rahmatullah alayhi, was a great just king, very pious man. In his parliament, they were having a meeting and they were discussing whatever. One of his ministers was putting his button right. He told him, this is the first and last time in my gathering you worry about your button. We are discussing a matter of the country, an important matter, and you got time to think of your button yet? Today we don't pay attention in many things. And now, I asked if the ladies are hearing, they say they're listening on the receivers. And one of the harms of the receivers is, they are washing dishes also, they are eating also, they're cleaning their vegetables also, they're cleaning the kitchen also, and they, how can you listen like this? You can't pay attention. You listen, listen properly, give your full attention. Fastami'u. Then kaan laga ke suno. Don't just listen casually, but properly. How many of us, we sit in a bayan here, and we got this, we are really, or we finishing our wazifa. How can you do two things at one time? You have to pay your prop, and if you want to benefit from any talk, many of us, we don't get to a fear of making amal. We all, mashallah, very good talk, but no fruit is growing. Tree is very beautiful, not giving any fruit. What's the use of such a tree? The fruit must come. So the fruit will come if we listen properly. And with the correct niyat of making amal, not just that we listen into a bayan, a person who makes the niyat that what is going to be said, I'm going to make amal on that. No matter how hard it is, Allah will make it easy. And if we make no niyat, and the most easiest thing is to say in the bayan, that you get so much benefit in this, but you'd see no amal, which is common. Whether it's simple things, but nobody makes amal. Nobody takes it to heart. It's a formality, it's an entertainment. The object of the bayan and of ulama coming is lost totally. We are just like an entertainment. Buzurgs have come, just make khidmat of the buzurgs, our dunya will get barakah. Make them happy, but the object, that is forgotten. So anyway, the first sunnah, that we take a bath and wear clean clothes. Second, we come walking. Third, we come as close as, we come as early as possible. Third, we come as close as possible to the imam. So whenever we come in any namaz, and particularly Jummah, come and sit in front, don't sit at the back. We usually, our habit, we're sitting against the wall. How many people come for Fajr namaz early? Some people come 15 minutes, half an hour, they read Quran, but they sit in a corner and read. That same tilawat that they made it in the first sub, they should have got millions of times more sawab. Like a person, for example, got 10, 20 million rand to invest, and he goes and buy a farm in the Karoo, which nobody is going to even rent from him, he's not going to get any returns from there. He wasted his money. He invested it in city center, in Johannesburg, in Pretoria, in the area where he's going to get top. So we're investing time which is much more valuable than money. We come for Fajr, many other namazes also we come early, but we invest it sitting in the wuzukhana, sitting at the back. That same thing, we should have come a few steps and come to the front, we should have got so much more return. One time we were in Masjid Abrar in Malaysia. It was a weekday. Malaysia is a residential area, few people, all have gone to shops. And we went for Zohar namaz, and we didn't know what we learned. I advise our brothers, pass it on. We were making our Zohar sunnah spread out in the masjid. Somebody this side, somebody at the back, somebody this side, all spread out, which is common how our nature is. Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi himself was present, and actually we went and visited him. He came then into the masjid, and he walked from the back right to the place behind the imam's musalla. And on his way he said, pehli saf mein jagah hote hue kahi aur khada hona apna zabardast nuksan karta. When there is place in the first saf to go and sit anywhere else and make your namaz, you are harming yourself very greatly. That same barakat of namaz in the first saf, the value of it is so much more greater by Allah than what in the same which you made three safs at a time, which you made at the back, which you made anywhere else. On the first saf, the reward is the greatest. Okay, so always we should try and come to the first saf. Whenever there is place, and also keep in mind, don't jump over the shoulders of people. Don't push people apart and then you're going through. Don't cause inconvenience to any person. And in there, again we should, those who are in front, don't leave a gap in front. Now the person who comes from the back wants to fill that gap. You yourself go in front. Fill the first saf, then only start with the second saf. So that we should have the fourth sunnah. The fifth is don't do anything useless. And the sixth is listen attentively. What we normally do all week, we haven't got time for qailula, siesta, too busy people. No time. But Jummah, then we come and make our qailula in the masjid. Take our 40 wings. Poor Maulana is speaking, he's in his world, he's in the heavens there. And we are gone somewhere else dreaming. And some of us actually take a rest behind the pillar or the wall. And you can hear the man snoring also. But they are telling that your wuzu is broken. You get up a big rock. And he'll be your enemy for the rest of your life. That I wasn't sleeping, I was awake. But you heard him snoring also. Eh? But he doesn't want to accept that he was sleeping. So this commonly happens. So don't do that. And listen attentively. In listening attentively, when we don't hear, we half sleepy, we hear half of what Maulana said. So Maulana said that when you go on safar on a journey, then namaz is half. Zohar, Asar, Isha, instead of four, you read two rakat. But we were half sleepy. So we heard Maulana said that namaz is maaf. Maulana didn't say namaz is maaf, he said namaz is half. Hey, so when we travel, we don't make namaz. Maulana said namaz is maaf. No, namaz is not maaf on a safar, namaz is half. Or Maulana spoke in Gujarati and he said that riyaj, interest, haram is haram. Interest is haram. But that we don't like to hear also, and we were half sleepy. And what we heard, Maulana said, piyaj haram. That onions are haram. Maulana didn't say onions are haram. Maulana said, interest is haram. And it suits us fine. Because the woman folk, they want onions when it's 80 rand a bag. 100, then they want it now and now. Say, when it's 20 rand a bag, they don't need it for the whole month also. But when it's 80, 100 rand, they want it yesterday. Now, we need it now. So it suits us fine from today. Maulana said, onions are haram. Maulana didn't say onions are haram. He said, interest is haram. So we should listen attentively. So six things which we do on the day of Jummah, six simple things to bath and wear clean clothes. We are doing that. We are coming, walking to the masjid, even as I explained from a distance by car, no problem. We are coming early also, and because by the second azan we are here. Only one thing that we are not doing, most of us, is we don't go to the front. And because of that one thing, we deprive ourselves of all this salah. The fourth thing, to listen attentively. And the sixth thing, don't do anything useless. Play around with your watch or anything, don't do. Six simple things. And for every step, if we do this, one whole year's ibadat sawab we will. One whole year's roza sawab for every step that we take. Inshallah, make niyat. And if any person don't remember the 6 points, this whole bayan is on the website. Fadail-e Jumma, go to our website. ka.org.za, and you'll find it there. All everything is written there. But try and remember this and try and make amal. These are called amal sitta li yawm al-jumu'ah. Six amals for the day of Jumu'ah. Amongst the learned and the pious, they call this the six amals. Then there are amal khassa, special amals for the day of Jumu'ah. Eight of them I will mention. That is, that try and wake up earlier on a Friday than normal. If we are getting Fajr namaz, it is what time? 6 o'clock.
Quarter past five.
So if you are getting up, example, 5:15, 5:10, 5 o'clock you are getting up, get up 5 minutes earlier. The actual object is to get up more earlier to make more ibadah. But even if we wake up 2 minutes earlier than normal, we will get the sawab of the sunnah. But the mere object is try and wake up for tahajjud also, especially on the Jummah. Make du'as also for all the other ibadah. So try and wake up earlier than usual. Try and visit the Qabristan on a Friday. Till today, you will see Jews go on a Saturday. And Christians go on a Sunday. They give importance to it. Our day, we should give, we make it Jummah. So much so it has come that if a child, a son, was disobedient to his parents, and after they have passed away, now it appears the doors are closed, parents have passed away, and whole life he was disobedient. But he visits the qabr regularly on a Friday. Allah will write him from the obedient son. How Allah has been so kind, and he left the door open even after your father passed away. Your mother passed away, you visit the qabristan regularly on a Friday, this great sawab. And the object of going to the qabristan is not to make isal sawab. It's not to make dua of maghfirat. That we should do from everywhere. And one advice that I suggest, that there shouldn't be a single day that passes that at least we read 3 fulls, for which you get the whole Quran Sharif sawab. And pass it to our marhumin, our parents, our immediate family, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, etc. Pass it to the whole ummah. Pass it to all the people from Adam alayhi salam who will come till the day of Qiyamah, who are still not born, pass the sawab to them also. They all will get that sawab, and you will get the sawab as though all of them read and passed the sawab to you. One time, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, was on his way for Hajj Umrah. In fact, he was staying, he was resident in Medina Sharif, he was returning, he went visiting to India. And he was in Bombay. The second or third day, he called all his main friends, Khalifa's murid, and he told them, see, this is my second, third day in Bombay, and every day I made one Quran Sharif Qasam, and I passed the sawab to all the marhumin of Bombay. And then he said, what is one Quran Sharif Qasam? 3 times Qul huwa Allah. So easy, who can't you? And also my little advice, whichever town we enter, read the dua of entering the town, read 3 times Qul huwa Allah, and pass the sawab to all the marhums of that town. Wherever we are, we're traveling, even for a holiday, for fitness, wherever we go, pass the sawabs to the marhumin of that place. So we should try and do this on a Friday, try and visit the Qabristan. Make it a habit. Take our children also with. Let them also get into the habit. So the second thing, we visit the Qabristan, and then on read Surah Kahf, which starts about the half of 15 Supara and ends before the quarter of the 16th. Try and read that on a Friday. There are many amals in our deen which are antidepressants, but we don't read them. We will buy antidepressants from the chemist, from the doctor. Surah Kahf is an antidepressant. You will never be depressed and worried. No tension and worry. Even in this dunya, at the time of mort, whatever is happening in the world, you won't be depressed though, so you won't be worried. So much so, how terrible the day of Qiyamah will be. Allah will keep you in a state, no depression for you there. Otherwise, the smallest things, a person is calling depression. We get surprised, people phone and ask and email, that hardly anything happened, calling a depression. Hey, antidepressants, and there are many antidepressants in the, like the chemist will have, doctor will give you so many different, deen has given us, and the real antidepressants need, one of them is read Surah Kahf. If you can't read the whole surah, don't make this a loophole and a leeway, try and read the whole surah. But if you can't, read the first 10 ayats and the last 10 ayats. If that also you can't do, read either the first 10 or the last 10. There is an antidepressant. So on a Juma, try and read that also. The fourth thing is, try and read Durood Sharif excessively on the day of Juma. And it's not that you must read Durood on the day of Juma, read it and increasingly, excessively, abundance, every day read Durood. Minimum read 100 times Durood every day. Friday increase it to 500, and we can read every day more. And one particular durood, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi, alfa marra. Oh Allah, send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family 1,000 times 1,000 times. How much is 1,000 times 1,000? 1,000,000. And we are advised to read this durood 1,000 times on the day of Jummah. If we free ourselves of Jummah, we manage all this comfortably. But if we want to carry on with Tenga Baba, Mama, Tenga Baba, all our business all the time, then when are we going to get time for all this? If we free ourselves, comfortably we'll be able to do. And you will be out of the shop till Juma. Allah will give you so much barakat. After Juma, you'll be shocked that I don't do so much business. Where all this has come? One friend of ours, just this morning, his email came, and Allahu Akbar, his subject, good news. And what good news? Millions of rands that were stuck, it has come through. License which they weren't getting, the license, how many of good things? And just recently when we had our Islami Jalsa in Azadwan, he made a determination. But he says, I was far from deen. Deen is not knowledge of deen. Deen is the practice. He said, I started, and he was corresponding and he was doing. And his life changed. Alhamdulillah, how much barakat Allah gave him. He's so happy, young man. But so much barakat Allah has given him. So this is that the deen must come into our lives. So for Jumu'ah, one is we get up earlier than usual, visit the Qabristan, read Surah Kahf, increase our durood. This durood, and if we read it 1,000 times on a Friday, 1,000 times 1,000,000, how much is that?
Billion.
You'll become a real billionaire every Jumu'ah. Not a spaza millionaire. All our dunya money is spaza millionaires. When you die, that is just like monopoly money. You play the game of monopoly, you had 20 million, you had 50 million. You robbed a bank, you did this, you're owing me so much. It's the end of the story. At the time of mort, 100% you'll be alive. It was a monopoly game. And all what you learn, you take it within your qadr, you won't be able to buy one chappie suit. You won't be able to buy one box matches. You leave it here, in most cases we see good pious families, rich men, the way they fight, the lawyers, the Jew and Christian lawyers eat up all the money they get. Nothing. All they get is hatred for one another. Fights with the parents, fights between brother and sister who grew up, who used to enjoy making jokes, laughing with one another, small little fights here, it's just normal fights, all that. But now they become such enemies of one another, money causes all that. And if we will practice upon our deen, then Allah will give this barakah.
So you will become a real billionaire, and real billionaires every Friday you can become by reading. Another durood also for Friday after Asr Namaz. If we read 80 times, which takes about 4 minutes to the most 5 minutes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabiyyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. 80 years of your gunas are forgiven. Who's going to live for 80 years and only commit gunas daily and night? But in 4 minutes, for 80 years you can have it. And in that, who read the surah, he gets the ibadat of 80 years. Who's going to live for 80 years and only make ibadat all the time? Nothing else. But in 4 minutes you can get the sawab. But who of us will make amal? If by the time we walk out there, we start joking, laughing, and everything is forgotten. Our niyat wasn't to make amal, otherwise it's not difficult. And to earn for 80 years earning, if your boss tells you Friday after Asr, my customer is coming and a very big customer, if you stay 5 minutes extra, I'll give you 80 years wages. He's earning 10,000 a month, and 10 times 12, 120 a year times 80, who's not going to do it? But we got no value of you. That in 5 minutes we can get the wages of, and you got debts which you have accumulated, you, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. For 80 years, debts were accumulated. And the boss said, if you stay 5 minutes, I will write off all their debts. Who won't take that opportunity? But yeah, Allah is offering, but the value is not in our hearts. We don't sit to do it. So, durood sharif, we should try to increase on a Friday. Read salatul tasbih on a Friday. It is written in detail in Fadail Amal, Tabligh Nisab, and in Beishti Zewar, and many kitabs it's written, find out to ask the ulama how to read Salatul Tasbih. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his uncle Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that try and read Salatul Tasbih every day if you can. If you can't once a week, if you can't once a month, if you can't once a year, if you can't, don't be so weak that in your whole life you didn't read it. By reading it, all your sins are forgiven, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're big and you're small. Those you did openly and secretly, publicly, and you did it hidden in the day, in the night. All your sins will be forgiven. Ulama say that for big gunas, make tawbah. And for small gunas, these amal, I left to forgive all our gunas. So try and read Salatul Tasbih. And on a Friday also, try and read a surah that starts with Sabbaha Yusafbih, which are from Musafbiha. And the shortest of that is Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la. Try and read one of these surahs. Also on a Friday, try and use Ita. It's so much it comes in the hadith. If you haven't got, ask your wife. But use Ita, especially on a Friday. So we should try and use that also. So these are certain amal-e-khasa li-yawm-e-dua. Also dua. There are two times special for Jumat duas are accepted. One is between the two khutbah. Without moving your tongue in your heart, that little while you get is a very valuable time. And there are so many important duas that we have to make for ourselves, our families, the whole ummah, and the time between Asr and Maghrib. If we can't give all the time, as much time as we can give closer on to Maghrib, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or at least as we are coming, that on a Friday spend the time, as we are traveling, driving, walking to the masjid, make dua at that time. So these are amal-e khasa li-yawm al-Jumu'ah. A person who will honor the day of Jummah, Allah will honor him. Allah says you got taqwa. And a person who got, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Allah will give you the greatest honor. If we will honor the day of Jummah, Allah will put taqwa in your heart. Allah will give you honor. May Allah let us appreciate our deen. For dunya to earn very, very hard. And you earn so little. And in any case, whatever you learn, you're going to leave behind. Whatever you earn. And deen, so easy. The simple amal. And it will come, it will be of your aid forever and ever. May Allah give us all the opportunity. Tomorrow after Fajr also we'll have a short program inshallah. Try and attend there also. And then tomorrow we will be in East London. How far is it?
5,000
kilometers. 50, 60 kilometers. All the way we came from Joburg. Yeah, so it's much more near. So we could come, I'm sure you can also come. So try and attend the program tomorrow in East London. They allow money normal. Imam Saf of East London giving Dawat also. It all comes in inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Now, whatever we have said, heard, qabool farma, let us give us tawfiq to make amal on it. Oh Allah, you have made deen so easy. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared a deen or yusra. Deen is very easy. Oh Allah, let us realize it. Let us acquaint ourselves with deen and see how easy deen is. And the greatest returns and benefits are in deen. Let open our blind eyes, O Allah. Open our closed hearts, O Allah. Let us realize the value of deen, our success, our honor, our value lies in deen. We are looking for it where it isn't. We are looking for it in dunya, in money, in investment, in the prestige, in popularity. O Allah, let us realize that our greatest honor, our greatest happiness, our greatest success is in deen. Bring deen in our lives, our women's lives, our children's lives. Make deen common in the whole world, O Allah. Increase us in all good, O Allah. Save us from all bad and harm, O Allah. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ